I am not a psychologist or a therapist. However, I will say that what I'm going to mention in this podcast, if you apply it wholeheartedly, I promise you it will help every single one of us. Saludos otra vez. This is the Nice Veins Bro podcast, the number one podcast for nurses who want to live that next level life. I am Nene Pablo, host of this podcast, registered nurse, and creator of Nice Veins Bro. I got my flu shot today. I did. I woke up extra early. Lexa had to work, my wife, this morning, and I went to the hospital because they had a flu clinic. Wow, I can't speak. They had a flu clinic. It was supposed to start at 7 o'clock, and we showed up around 6:45 or so, and we just kind of started making a line. We weren't pressuring them or anything, but the lady was like, "This is supposed to start at 7 o'clock. No, you're not here. All this stff. You know, why are you here?" I was like, "What are you preparing?" Literally, they're pre-filled syringes. Just give me the syringe. Yeah, we're all, I can just put it in my arm. She got all vaccine hesitant on us. No, just kidding. Anyway, I got it this morning and my arm is sore, so pray for me, church. Okay, what are we talking about today? You know that feeling that you get in your chest? Breathing quickens, your heart rate skyrockets, and you start having sweaty palms and tremors, you know? What are we talking about? We're talking about anxiety! We are talking about anxiety. I wanted to go straight in and talk about some mental health stuff because this is necessary. It affects our mental health. It affects our physical health. It affects our emotional health and our spiritual health. And we have experienced, I mean, we came out the womb, bro, crying. Anxiety has been there since we were born. This is not a rare thing. We all are well aware of what this is and how it affects. And so, you know, you've felt it before nursing exams, right? We've been there. You have felt it before clinicals. You have felt it before your first shift of the week after you had a couple of days off and you get that pit in your stomach. I've been there. Oh my gosh. I can remember clinical morning when we would show up early at the hospital and, you know, our nursing instructor would be like, "Oh, go up to the floor and find your nurse." And, you know, you just kind of only have the nurse's name and you don't know what they look like. And so you're going around and everyone's kind of busy getting report. Lord have mercy. Just talking about it gets me I struggled a lot with the anxiety. And it wasn't, you know, the truth about anxiety is that it kills you slowly. You know, the reason why I say that is because at first it makes you feel like you can handle it. You know, it starts slowly. It's like, "Oh, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. And the more you kind of push it off and the more you kind of ignore the fact that there's this big thing that's affecting you emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, the more it turns into something like you're forced to deal with. If you don't deal with, someone said this, and I don't know, I'm just going to quote someone and I'm going to butcher it, but someone said, I heard say that if you don't deal with the inconveniences of your life now, you will be forced to deal with the crisis later. And so that's why we're talking about anxiety. We don't want to go down the road of a crisis. How do we deal with anxiety before it gets out of control? Well, let's go back to nursing school. What did they tell us in nursing school, you know, about how to help our patients with anxiety? It's funny because, man, they teach us so much about how to take care of others, and sometimes we neglect ourselves. That's another podcast. Stay tuned. but you remember this. I mean, they would teach us these things about how to coach your patients dealing with anxiety with either breathing exercises or, oh my gosh, like visualizations, you know, of the beach or a meadow, you know what I'm saying? Imagery, or they would have us, you know, tell them to focus on a soothing word like tranquility, sunshine. And counting 1 to 10 is another one that I remember studying about. But my gosh, wouldn't it be great that if Epic charting, you know, in the documentation you had, like, I would like to implement yoga and Tai Chi for stress. It's, yeah, I can just see it under massage. Gave patient massage to deal with their anxiety. Anyway, these things that I just talked about and just that I listed, they may be helpful for some people. You know, don't get me wrong. But I honestly, they're not good enough. Straight up, they're just not good enough. And the reason why they're not good enough is because they're reactive. I don't like that. Right. So if we're going to wait for things to be reactive, then, you know, what are we doing? I'm not saying that they're useless, but what I am saying is that there is a better way for us to find something to be a solution for us. So I'm going to give you, okay, different ways to approach anxiety. I want to be able to attack the, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to attack the anxiety before it comes for me. And the first thing that we have to do is really understand anxiety. It's kind of like when you're dealing with an enemy, you have to understand the enemy and how they operate. We have to understand exactly who it is that we're up against, you know, in order to attack it at the most vulnerable spots. And so the same thing goes with anxiety. We have to understand anxiety and what it is. Not only what it is, but what it is specific to us. Because everyone deals, whoa, I just hit the mic. Because everyone deals with anxiety differently, right? One thing I want to get out of the way is that anxiety is not the same as stress, okay? Say it again for the people in the back. I could just... Anxiety is not the same thing as stress, okay? There is such a thing as good stress. There is not such a thing as good anxiety. Stress has a stressor, okay, that causes it. There's rationale to it. Anxiety most often, well, sometimes it's coupled, but I like to say that anxiety is actually, it's always irrational. Sometimes it has something where it's tied to a stress, you know, the stress, there's a stressor that causes stress, and then there's some sort of anxiety tied to that. But that anxiety piece typically has to do with the dread because you have an irrational fear about something, okay? So that's the distinction that, you know, I just want to make sure we make before we keep going. It has to be noted that there is a difference between the clinical anxiety and normal anxiety. And yes, I did say normal anxiety, okay? Because experiencing anxiety is normal. I'm going to say it again. Experiencing anxiety is normal. Just because you experience anxiety doesn't mean you have anxiety disorder, okay? And you need either medication or some kind of serious form of psychotherapy or something, okay? I think that this is really important because the population who actually has this diagnosis, the population, for example, who has other diagnoses, like people, it's like saying, you know, I'm depressed, and then someone who actually has depression listens to that and is just kind of like taken, like, okay, what the heck, bro? You know, you don't know what this is. And so it's the same kind of respect that we need to give to the people who have anxiety disorder. It's something different, right? So experiencing some form of anxiety is normal for all of us, okay? But there is a difference between the clinical diagnosed anxiety disorder and the normal anxiety that we experience. And for the purpose of this podcast, I'm not going to be focusing on the clinical anxiety. It requires a very specific individualized treatment, and I am not a psychologist or a therapist. However, I will say that what I'm going to mention in this podcast, if you apply it wholeheartedly, I promise you it will help every single one of us. I firmly believe that anxiety, the anxiety that we do experience, if we're not keeping a note on it, doing a pulse check, it grows and grows and grows and grows to the point that it will get into anxiety disorder if we don't take care of it. So this podcast is really going to focus on how to minimize that effect and how to make sure it doesn't progress any further so that anxiety doesn't take control of our lives. Great content, great things coming. You don't want to miss it. Let go. Nah. Hola mi gente, everybody has a crazy nursing story to tell. If you want to share yours with the world, send it to me. I'll feature it here on the podcast and you can get my take on it. You can also ask me questions, love questions. Remember, HIPAA rules do apply when you're telling your story, of course, and I will make sure you remain anonymous. I don't know what you're waiting for. Send me a message, niceveinsbro.com/podcast. That's again, niceveinsbro.com/podcast. Looking forward to it. Okay, three ways to fight anxiety. The topic of anxiety is so massive, okay, that this may seem like it's such a simple podcast, but I just kind of wanted to give a kind of a different way to fight anxiety and three different ways that maybe you haven't heard of, and hopefully it's helpful for you because it's been helpful for me. Gonna get right into it. Number one, identify the source. That sounds so stupid and so obvious, but listen to me. In order to identify the source of your anxiety, you have to understand who you are. And too many of us truly don't know who we are. We have to be willing to take a serious look at our life and understand anxiety as the enemy. I mean, it's got to be very serious. We have to look at it as, you know, take it like this is life or death. Don't start to make excuses for why you have anxiety, for example. I mean, we already discussed that it's irrational. So starting to try to make excuses for an irrational thing, maybe you're not willing to be corrected, right? That's a possibility there. So check your humility and also check to see if you're serious enough about this. The other thing is, be willing to change. Like, overcoming anxiety cannot happen by chance. It doesn't just happen to you. This kind of stuff happens when you're very intentional. And it also is gonna have a lot of growing pain. Things actually may get worse before they get better because there's a lot of shame involved. And so if you are trying to identify what the source is of your anxiety, you may actually pull over a leaf that you're very, very ashamed of, which brings me to another thing, and that is that it can't be done alone, because if you try to do this alone, it's not gonna happen. So those are the core things when it comes to, identifying the source of anxiety in your life. Number two would be to chase peace. You're gonna hate me for this, okay? That sounds super cringy. Chasing peace is extremely, extremely important. Too many people are focusing on what they need to run from rather than focusing on what they need to run toward, okay? I'm gonna say that again. I feel like too many people are focused, you know, obviously naming the source. I know where it's coming from, but let's now focus on what we need to run toward. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about how to attack anxiety in the most vulnerable spots and not being reactive, proactive, right? That's what we're talking about. Identify the source, step one. Step two would be run toward peace. Chase peace. Now, I will explain what that means because it seems really peachy and rosy. Let me make it real for you. Here's a practical example. Don't focus on running away from a job that you hate that gives you anxiety. Chase after the job that will fulfill you. See the perspective change? That's chasing peace rather than focusing on the job that you hate. Change your perspective. Avoiding difficult assignments at work, in the hospital, on your unit. Instead, chase after the knowledge that will give you the competence to take those patients. So instead of running from what gives you the anxiety, how about you solve the fact that it's a lack of perhaps the competence, at least that's for me. I mean, I don't want to shade you or make you feel like this is you, but I'm speaking on me. Like, this is me. When I get anxiety at the hospital, when it comes to assignments, it's because I feel like I don't know if I can do it. when you didn't know how to do something in the past and you learned how to do it, and over time you got more confident, the anxiety went down, didn't it? It's the same thing in the hospital. The more confident you are about the skills that you need in order to take care of a certain population, right? Whether it's, you know, going from med surge into ICU or something, or, you know, going into the ER where you're taking higher level care of patients, or going to a smaller hospital to a larger hospital, regardless of what it is, as your competence grows, the more confident you will be and the less anxiety you will have about your job. I'll give you another example. Don't focus on how difficult graduate school is. Focus on how it's developing you into a stronger person. It's the same idea. You are chasing peace versus focusing on what gives you the anxiety. Number one, identify the source. Number two, chase peace. And chasing peace looks like many different things. I know what you're thinking. It's not a bottle of wine. All right. That's a mask. That's avoiding, actually. That's avoiding the problem, which makes it worse. Healthy things. Chasing peace can be as simple as involving yourself in activities that are therapeutic. These are things like going for a walk, listening to music. And it doesn't have to be spa music, okay? And when I mean chasing peace, I mean it gives you assurance. It gives you trust. Sometimes I'll put rap music, okay? And that gives me the confidence that I need, the boost that I need. That's therapeutic for me. Working out, reading a book, believe it or not, house cleaning can be very therapeutic. Gardening, volunteering at a church, okay? Drawing or painting, playing an instrument, playing sports, playing with your kids, okay? I don't have kids, but if you've got kids, the point is, when you involve yourself in these things, they have a therapeutic effect. They have a health benefit to you. Engaging in an activity, in something, you actually will experience peace over your life. In fact, I will add that there's a way to avoid the problem, even doing healthy things. That's a whole podcast on its own. Sometimes this idea of chasing peace involves getting access to professional counseling and therapy. My wife actually corrected me the other day. There are things that you can do that are therapeutic, and then there is therapy. Don't confuse the gym or art or music as therapy. Those are therapeutic. There is something called therapy, and that is actually opening up about what is bothering you, opening up with a therapist and going through in detail what's going on in your life. And so don't skip out on that either. That, if you need it, is very, very, very important and beneficial to really anyone. The idea of having, you know, anxiety about a certain situation, sometimes you can't necessarily find the source on your own, okay? And sometimes you do need someone to help unpack those things. Getting therapy, getting counseling is extremely helpful, and it's a way out from being shackled to the stupidity of anxiety. And I shouldn't say it that way, actually. What I mean is anxiety and being shackled to it, that doesn't have to be your reality, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Quick review again, we are talking about three ways to fight anxiety. It's identify the problem or identify the source that gives you the anxiety. Number two is to change your perspective and actually chase the goal, which is to find peace versus just reducing the problem or the anxiety. The third part here that I think is extremely crucial when dealing with how to fight anxiety before it attacks us in those moments is to have a community. Honestly, I'm just gonna be honest. I don't have notes on this because I just wanna speak from the heart at this point. Community is not a geographic location. I am not referring to a neighborhood. I will tell you what community is not. Community is not a Facebook group, an email list. Community is not any kind of social media group. Sometimes it's not even your own family. A community is a group of loyal individuals in your life that love you through the lies that you tell yourself and remind you of the truth. They are the people who refuse to let you sit and wallow in shame, and they will pull you out of it. They will cry with you. They will laugh with you. In this area of community, in this topic, I've had to learn a lot. And Lexa has been a huge help in that sense. My wife has been able to burst that strong, you know, individualistic kind of fierce mindset that I used to have, and showed me the actual real benefits that you can have when you embrace community, when you embrace the idea of being vulnerable with other people. Community is priceless. I cannot overemphasize how important community is. It will take risk because you have to open up to people. You know, it puts that risk of being hurt. You reach out to the people who you know have your best interest in mind, and you say, this is what I need. You know, reach out to the people around you, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a brother or a sister, whether it's a friend from church, whether it's a friend from high school. Screw it. I mean, literally, someone that you know that at the end of the day, they have your best interest in mind. Open up to them and be vulnerable. The closer they are in terms of proximity, the better, because they'll be there, you know, when you need someone, while you're crying, not someone who will be there after you've cleaned up. Hey, I just want to thank you for listening. It means the world to me, especially because at the time of this recording, I'm still only a couple months from starting this whole thing. So if you're interested in helping me build this brand even more, please share this podcast on your social media and grab some merch from the website at niceveinsbro.com. Got some great stuff there for sale. Send me a DM on Instagram and share some encouragement, some love, and some hate. I will welcome that too, but don't be shy. Talk to you soon. Before I close this out, I want to suggest a great book that I recently read by David Marvin. This book is incredible. It's called We're All Freaking Out and Why We Don't Need To. Finding Freedom from Your Thoughts, from Your Anxious Thoughts and Feelings. This book, you know, when I open it, I have all sorts of different marks on it and writings and underlines and stuff, because it really, really spoke to me. And so if you are looking, if you're a reader, I'm sure they probably also have it as a, you know, where someone reads it to you, whatever it's called, an audiobook. But if you're a reader, grab a copy of this. Shout out to Marvin, David Marvin. And yeah, he didn't pay me for that, but it's a great book. Here's the deal. Anxiety, you guys, is a serious issue that plagues the world. Okay, it's not just a couple of people that deal with this. It is everyone. Some more than others, but it's everyone. Particularly in a profession like nursing, where uncertainty and, you know, instability of life itself is like a daily thing with some of us. It's seen every single day. We deal with a lot. We deal with a lot. Life in and out of our profession faces this reality of having anxiety. It's so important, especially for us, to be based and to be rooted in truth, in peace. We'll always experience some level of stress and some level of anxiety. We cannot escape it. The question is, are we going to be victims of it? Are we going to let it paralyze us? Here's another thing to think about. You may not be the person who deals with anxiety or has to face it every single day, but what can you do to help your coworker, to help the families that we take care of, to help our patients who deal with anxiety. It's a reality that they have to face. That's where we have the beautiful, amazing opportunity to speak life, to speak truth into those people's lives. We can do something about it today. Don't just listen to this podcast and give it a 5-star review and that's it. We need to be taking action, if not for your own life, for someone else's. I want to thank you so very much for joining me on this second episode. And if this has helped you, or if you know someone that this content could help and be beneficial toward, please share it with that person, share on your social media, and make sure and follow us so that you don't miss any future episodes. God bless you. Que Dios lo bendiga. Los quiero mucho. When I would listen to podcasts before I became a podcaster myself, I didn't realize how much leaving a 5-star review helped. And so now on this side, I just want you to know that it really does mean a whole lot when people review and share the content. So if you enjoyed it, please share it with somebody and leave a 5-star review on whichever platform you use, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And if you're interested, you can also find us on social media at NiceVeinsBro or shop online at NiceVeinsBro.com. My personal stuff you can find under Nene Pablo, which is spelled NeNePablo. I spend most of my time on YouTube making vlogs and videos and on Instagram. So I would love to connect with you. And remember, be a positive force and influence within healthcare and society. It's all about God, wellness, and purpose here. Thank you for listening.